You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 2nd, 2020, the U.S. economy adding 4.8 million jobs last month. Unemployment dropping to 11.1%, and both of those numbers are better than expected. And in fact, over the last 2 months, we've added 7.3 million jobs. That is great. And of course, it says customers and consumers are going back to stores, restaurants, and other businesses that were shuttered in March and April, but now they're beginning to open up, and they've got employees back at work, and folks are coming in and buying and shopping again. With in mind, COVID-19 is still here, and there may be some changes along the way, but hopefully we will not shut down the entire economy again. In the meantime, President Trump, taking a look at these numbers, says these are historic numbers. And he also took a swipe at Joe Biden, warning that all these economic gains would be reversed if Joe Biden gets in, since he's already talking about reversing tax cuts put in by Trump. In other words, raising taxes. A new poll by Rasmussen shows a majority of all likely U.S. voters, 54%, say there is no labor shortage of qualified American workers to take working and middle-class jobs. We have about 40 million still unemployed or underemployed, and they all want full-time work. We don't need to bring anyone in from out of the country to do it. Supreme Court announcing the justices will hear arguments and a Trump administration challenge against the House Judiciary Committee. This involves access to the secret grand jury materials from Robert Mueller's Russian investigation. This is a major setback for that Democrat-led committee. They've been trying to get all that secret grand jury material. Well, we'll see what happens as now the Supreme Court says it will hear the case. Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. Or did he? Anyway, his confidant, Ghislaine Maxwell, the woman that was always seen with him, supposedly his madam that helped him set up teenage girls for prostitution and so forth, she has now finally been arrested. Charged multiple sex abuse charges, including conspiracy to entice minors to engage in sexual acts. All these cutbacks across the nation for police departments, and of course in police school districts as well. The L.A. school police chief says, I'm out. I can't do the job effectively. The L.A. Unified School District slashed his budget by $25 million. And he says, that makes it ineffective for me to continue to do the job. He's a 33-year-old law enforcement veteran, previously retired from the L.A. Police Department. Had been on the job only a few months, but he says, you cut $25 million out of this budget? I can't do the right job and protect the kids. Former Vice President Biden talking about announcing a running mate. Here it comes. Here it comes. His statement is, I can't guarantee you August 1st, but it will be in early August before, several weeks before the convention, I believe. In other words, I don't know when I'm going to announce it. CBS News reporting last week that Congresswoman Karen Bass, Democrat of California, chairwoman of the Congressional Black Caucus, now being vetted for that VP position. And, of course, keep in mind, Kamala Harris hopes she's still in, as well as some others, Stacey Abrams. President Trump and Biden, of course, now, according to a North Carolina survey, are in a virtual tie. Many polls show Trump behind in various states, and overall, this one state in North Carolina says it's a tie. Trump did win the 15 Electoral College votes in 2016 by a vote of a percentage margin of 3.8%. The Republican National Committee says that all the joint fundraising committees have raised a record $266 million in the second quarter of 2020. Oh, take note of this. The FBI arresting a local attorney and four members of the city council in Toledo, Ohio. Alleged participation in bribery and extortion schemes. Now that means one-third. Are you listening? One-third of Toledo City Council arrested on bribery and extortion charges. councilwoman walking out of the courthouse saying, I don't know anything. I don't know how this came about. Well, we'll watch the trial as it moves forward. Washington Redskins looking to move to their new stadium from Maryland to the RFK Stadium in D.C. Remember, the Skins originally were in D.C., had been there since 33, and when they changed their name from the Boston Braves to the Boston Redskins and moved to the Washington area in 37, I should say. And now they want to go back. Now they're being told, unless you drop the name Redskins, we're not going to allow you to come back in D.C. and be RFK Stadium. They say, look, we have the Redskin name not to dismiss American Indians, but as an honor toward Native Americans. And now they're being told, a private company, you have to change your name or you can't take stadium. I would look for a lawsuit on that one before it's over. Watch.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, have been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is nothing, this isn't only in New York City. Every one of these Democrat-run cities around the country, think of this, 90 people in June, 90 people were killed, 471 shot in Chicago in a month, in 1 month.
Wow.
The same is going on in Baltimore, Milwaukee, Minnesota. This same exact stuff is going on. Every one of these cities are run by Democrats. And as long as this continues, you're going to see major spikes in crime. And who are the greatest benefactors of those spikes in crime? The black communities. The black community. Mm-hmm. They're going to suffer the most.
The words of Bernie Kerik, the former New York police commissioner. He said benefactors, he meant who's going to suffer the most, and he clarified that, the minority communities. If you continue to cut police budgets, you cut down police officers available, you cut down the resources available for them, crime will certainly ramp up in areas. Every criminal out there is anxiously waiting for their police department to clearly cut the budget deeply. All of those running around shouting, defund the police, they are not really giving any consideration to the reality of it, or they don't care, or they have their own special protection. I mentioned in the last hour, and I'll remind you again, the Seattle CHOP zone that finally got shut down, you know when they made the decision to actually close it down? May or may not be tied to this action, but here's the hypocrisy of the left. Remember the Seattle mayor, Durkin, Jenny Durkin, was all in favor of the CHOP Chaz zone in the beginning. It will be a street festival. It will be a summer of love. And then they had the first weekend, and violence broke out, and a young man shot and killed. They tried to rush him and another one to the hospital. The one teenager dead when he was at the hospital, and the other one at last report might still be in critical condition. And the following weekend, they had another. And the mayor kept saying, well, you know, we're going to ask you guys to kind of move out. They wouldn't move out. Some did, but the hardcore said, no, we're not going anywhere. And sure enough, police had to move in and start bulldozing stuff down. And then they ran into the abandoned police precinct. They had to get them out. Thank goodness they were not in a shootout with them. Because when it came push to shove, the leftists folded. But the mayor, who was all in favor of these protesters anywhere and everywhere in her city, not so much when they showed up at her front door. One of the councilwomen of Seattle led a group to the mayor's front door where they shouted and protested outside her home. And at that time, then she realized this is not right. Well, of course, the mayor has her protection. So if we're talking about cutting police protection, police funding and so forth, that Seattle mayor and those elected officials, they'll make sure they have their security guards. You watch. But the rest of you? And Bernie Kerik, the former New York police commissioner, is absolutely right. You do this across the nation, you're going to see crime jump everywhere. I told you in the news and commentary how the police chief of the Los Angeles Unified School District resigned. His budget got cut $25 million. He said, I cannot do my job effectively. I cannot protect the kids and do what we need to do. I'm leaving. And, of course, those who cut the budget, they're happy. They want the police completely out of the school districts. Let me give you some stats for what's going on in New York City. In the last 28 days, almost a 158% increase in shootings compared to last year. 158% increase in shootings. 2020 to 2019 as of this day. 23% in murders. 57% in shootings with victims. 46% increase in burglaries. 60% increase in car thefts. No, the criminals are anxious for the police budgets to be cut and fewer police officers to go out there. And, of course, they all continue to demonize, on the left, demonize police. Cardinal Timothy Dolan wrote an editorial piece for Fox News titled, Stop Demonizing New York Police Department, for God's Sake. He begins it by saying, when I go back home to Missouri, family, actually it's written for the New York Post, Whenever I go back home to Missouri, family and friends ask me, what do you like most about New York? The list is lengthy, I reply. St. Patrick's Cathedral up there, of course, but nothing beats that magical feel of Manhattan around Christmas time. But near the top would be men and women of the New York Police Department. I chat with them on their beat. I have a coffee with them in the kitchen of my home behind the cathedral. I celebrate their weddings, baptize their kids, show up at their events. And yes, I visit them in the ICU. Attend their wakes and funerals when they're wounded or killed in the line of duty, which happens more often than I care to recall. And much too frequently of late, I grieved with a family of an officer who took his or her own life. He said they constantly have perilous, stressful duties, and now we're adding to their load with often exaggerated, rash, inaccurate criticism combined with rocks, Molotov cocktails, and taunts. And what he's saying is, quit demonizing the police, for God's sake. The words of the cardinal. There was an incident that happened the other day. Hundreds of protesters continued occupying New York City Hall after a city council vote that included $837 million in budget cuts, almost $1 billion cut from the police department in New York City. And still they were not happy, not enough. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, one of those saying, we want more, you got to cut more. We're not just talking about, when we say defund the police, we mean defund them. Take all the money away. So police are standing there trying to keep the peace with all these protesters. And in one clip, some of the officers outside one police plaza, a woman is shouting, all of you are getting sit there to pay like effing idiots. You guys go to clown college for like 26 weeks. Then before she could say something else, another guy jumped in front of her. didn't have a shirt on, dancing in front of the police and cursing them for their lack of education. One of them saying, your hairdresser has to go to school longer than you do. And then he turned his rage against a black officer who was standing on the line and lectured him. He said, you should effing know better. You should know better, traitor. Traitors, you're effing people. You're like the effing black Judas. Cardinal Dolan, you can do your best to urge them to stop demonizing and start looking at real facts, but they're so deep into it now, they don't care. The facts are never going to matter to these folks. When they reach the fact that all police departments have been disbanded, then they will like things. And they will have total chaos. And look what's happening in the state of Virginia. In the state of Virginia. Currently, if you assault a police officer in the state of Virginia, it's a Class C felony. Minimum penalty, 6 months in jail. Maximum of 5 years. In other words, you throw a brick at a police officer, you gang tackle an officer, minimum penalty is 6 months in jail, and you could get 5 years. The Virginia Senate Democrats are eager to make an open season on police. They want to downgrade the charge of assaulting a police officer from that felony to a misdemeanor. Misdemeanors carry a 1 year maximum sentence and no minimum. You could get 30 days if you hit a police officer with a brick, or maybe none. Or at the most, they'll give you a year if it's a misdemeanor. This means Black Lives Matter terrorist and Antifa terrorist will have open season on law enforcement. Anyone else who wants to get in. I ask again, I've asked this repeatedly now for weeks, who wants to be a police officer nowadays? Who's signing up? Look at what's happening in New York City. They've had a 50% increase of officers retiring compared to what they normally have. And I would expect that number to go more. And if these cuts are actually affected and start in place, Bernie Kerik, again, who had been a police commissioner in New York City, he tells you exactly how that's going to affect the police force and, in turn, the citizens.
They're going to diminish or eliminate the July recruit class of about 1,200 police officers. That's about $55 million. There'll be a number of cuts to the overtime scheduling for cops, and that overtime scheduling goes into enforcement, narcotics enforcement, anti-crime. They've already cut back on the plainclothes anti-crime units across the city. And what you're going to see is you're going to see a major spike in violent crime, shootings, and murder. Anytime the shootings goes up, you're going to see the murder rise as well. And you're going to see a lot of that based on these cuts.
And there's no doubt, there is no doubt, the community group that will be harmed the most will be the minority community. Drug gangs will run more rampant, terrorize the neighborhoods. And I remind you of these cases out of Chicago recently. Shootings in the street that end up taking innocent lives. A one-year-old riding with his father in the car. The father was targeted. Father wasn't it, but the one-year-old was killed. Now, again, I don't know if the father was actually involved in gang or if it's a mixed communication. I don't know, but the bottom line is a one-year-old child. His life ended at that spot. Then you got the 13-year-old girl dancing with her mother in their home, just dancing. And a bullet comes through and takes her life. You think if you pull the cops out of these areas and had them spread so thin that they can't get from one side to the other as quickly as they normally would, and fewer officers to respond, do you really think the thugs are going to decide, well, you know, we should slow down our crime a little bit. We shouldn't go that wild anymore. Of course not. And now you got folks like the Virginia Democrats saying, by the way, while we're in the process of reducing the funding, why don't you say we just reduce charges if you attack a police officer? You know, there's been an attitude for a long time, even among the hardest criminals, don't mess with cops. You don't lay a hand on an officer. If you do, you may have some problems. And yes, in many cases in the past, and probably some still now, you don't get to the police station right away without kind of going through a gauntlet somewhere. Is that right? No, it's not. But at least there was that threat. And now, throw a rock, a brick, hit a police officer in the face in Virginia, and they're going to say, we'll just make it a misdemeanor. Oh, the officer might be blinded in one eye. Oh, well, by the way, we also want to reduce any activities a police could do. In other words, we want to handcuff the police. We want to limit what they can do, and we want to make it easier to sue police, the police officer, him or herself. New York City cutting that police budget by $1 billion, and that's one-sixth of the budget. And they think this city is going to be safer. And it's not just for those who live there. What about those who go to New York City? Now, they're probably going to do their very damnedest to protect tourists in Manhattan and so forth when they can open up the city again. They're going to make sure you're protected, which means, again, the communities, and in particular the minority communities, will have less police protection. All of this is leading to a terrible outcome for our nation. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I had mentioned to you earlier, there is someone, I know you're going to know him, who's basically taking a look at what's happening with the polling and so forth and says, I think Donald Trump, he should just drop out of the race right now. He shouldn't be in. Can you imagine, by the way, I mimicked that? Do you have any idea who that might be? I'll bet some of you do, and others are saying, Larry's drinking this stuff again while he's on the air. Stand by, please. You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
He has no idea of what he's getting ready to get hit with. They have a lot more patriots in this country than he ever thought. And people are just outraged, and they're coming together, and they don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. It's just a wonderful thing to see the way that certain creative, energetic people in this country are coming together to extract this menace from the body politic.
I'm sure you know that voice, James Carville. He was the spark behind Bill Clinton in his campaign, got him elected. James Carville. And saying that we've got a surprise for Trump. He has no idea what he's going to be hit with because we got a lot of things lined up. We've been into some of these precincts. We got things set. And Carville also started talking about some of the numbers that are out there, the polls. Yeah, the polls. If you're going to go by the polls, which if I might remind you, the polls also said Trump was going to lose in 2016. But the polls at this point, here in the month of July and over the last couple of days, I'm looking at several polls, an IBD general election, Trump versus Biden. Biden wins by 8. The Pennsylvania poll shows Biden winning by 6. Michigan, Biden by 5. Wisconsin, Biden by 6. North Carolina, Biden by 7. Trump winning Florida, although there's another poll that came out today, said in North Carolina they're tied. Now I'm looking again. Those were all from July 1, a general election term. CNBC says Biden by 8. And I'm looking at some just released today. University of Texas does show Trump by 4. An Arizona poll shows Trump by 4. A general election poll by Monmouth, though, shows Biden by 12. So the numbers are all over the place, but for the most part, Trump is down. The numbers are so bad, James Carville says, I think Donald Trump should just drop out right now.
This thing is going so poorly. He's so far back. It doesn't even, to me, it doesn't make much sense for him to run. This is the great Moscow Mitch strategy. After Labor Day, we're going to turn on him. That's really going to work. I mean, McSally and Ernst and Sullivan and Lindsay been licking his boots for 3 years and 9 months. But boy, come Labor Day, we're going to get some separation. The chances of that working are zero. He is going to drag the whole outfit down with him.
Yep. They're there licking his boots because they're looking for him to lead them to victory. And come Labor Day, they're going to see him get fired up and things will be better and the numbers will change. Does Trump need to be focused on the election? Can he just take it for granted? I would never say take anything for granted. Nothing. But I also certainly am not going to buy James Carville's argument. Well, because these polls in June and now early July show these that what Trump should just, he should just fold up the tent. Say, you know what? I see the handwriting on the wall. I will go right now, quietly into the night, and let you guys have control again. He's not going to do that. Trump supporters are going to be there. But you got to make sure you're there. You got to make sure others are there. And there will be a lot of Democrats, just like last time, who will vote for Trump because the economy is doing so great for them. We'll take a break while we join on the other side. We're going to hear from some remarks from HUD Secretary Dr. Ben Carson, specifically his views of Black Lives Matter and the meaning of the organization. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions. Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
Bubble, bubble, roll a stone.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think there are a lot of innocent and good people who think Black Lives Matter just means, you know, we should be taking care of our black citizens and making sure that they're not discriminated against.
Absolutely.
And that's noble and laudable. Yeah. But we have an organization that is taking advantage of the fact that people don't really know what's behind a Marxist-driven organization.
The words of the HUD Secretary, Dr. Carson, Dr. Ben Carson. He said there are a lot of noble people who want the good things for all Americans, black Americans in particular right now, because of what's going on. And so they endorse and stand with Black Lives Matter, but they're not realizing that what's behind that organization is a Marxist approach and proposal. The founders of Black Lives Matter have admitted that. They've absolutely said it. We are Marxist. Well, what we have going on then, of course, in the nation right now is a debate over Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, or No Lives Matter, or if, you know, where do you go next? Do you know who Terry Crews is? Terry Crews starred at one time in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He has, in the past, been in sports and so forth as well. He made a remark the other day on a tweet about Black Lives Matter. And he tweeted, if you are a child of God, and Terry Crews is a black man, he said, if you are a child of God, you are my brother and sister. I have family of every race, creed, and ideology. We must ensure hashtag Black Lives Matter doesn't morph into hashtag Black Lives Better. He's warning that it could become black supremacy. Well, a former Clinton White House aide responded, political commentator Keith Boykin said, demanding black equality is not black supremacy. Michael Harriet, writer, stated, black people, we're starving. Terry Crews, but what about those who have more than enough food? We must ensure their bellies remain full. And added, say what you will about Terry Crews, but you had to admire his dedication to centering whiteness. Okay, maybe you don't have to. Martin Luther King's youngest daughter, Bernice King, also said, justice is not a competition. We're so far from that bridge, Terry. Hashtag Black Lives Matter is in part a rallying cry and a protest slogan to galvanize people into doing the justice work needed to derail the threats, dehumanization, and destruction of black lives that racism causes. I think a lot of what Bernice King said, I agree with. The intent is to be a rally cry, galvanizing people into getting justice and put a stop to dehumanizing and destructing of black lives. I would accept that. And in fact, Terry Crews wrote, you are right, Bernice King. I just want to make sure it stays that way. No competition, just creativity. Well, Dr. Ben Carson again says, if you're going to be honest and look at this situation, you have to realize Black Lives Matter really has two meanings. We have Black Lives Matter, and he says it has two meanings. Okay, let me see if we have that one. That would have been the first one in the Quentin and the lineup. You got it? Okay. It's frozen. That's what it is. He's sitting there shaking it like I thought, what is he, in fear of something? I'm going to do something wrong? Or, no, he's saying that the computer froze. Well, let me take my 9mm and put a bullet through the darn thing and see if it'll open it up. But I want you to hear more from Dr. Ben Carson, not just that one. So Quentin is doing his best. I mean, the guy does an amazing job at all times, and so I can't blame this on him unless I find he stuck gum on one of the keys in there or something. But Quentin, our cue man, is now in the process of trying to get this computer rebooted. But Dr. Carson is again trying to point out things that right now he says we're putting everything in the context of color. That's true, isn't it? If we're trying to get away from divisiveness, see, I guess that's part of my issue about Black Lives Matter. If you want to stop division in the country, I don't want to say just Black Lives Matter. And I saw a picture, a cartoon type thing. It wasn't a cartoon, but an illustration of a black man helping an elderly white man on a walker go down the street. And it said, if you have to put in front of this all lives matter, then something's wrong. Because they really should, shouldn't they? All those lives should matter. But we have gotten to the point where if you begin to single one out, then it causes divisiveness. I've said the same thing about Congressional Black Caucus. If you had a Congressional White Caucus, there would be all kinds of noise, and rightly so. Are there certain issues of highlighted concern for black Americans that white Americans won't see or deal with if they're not brought to their attention? I agree fully with that. But do you have to put it under label of black or white? If you're going to do it for Americans, it should be for all Americans, for all Americans. And I've said this repeatedly. If any American is not free, if any American does not have rights that they should be entitled to have, then none of us are free. And going into this 4th of July, we should keep that in mind. This is an important time in the sense of our nation, but it's an important time to remind us that we do have things in this nation of value, despite all the noise and the protest and the rioting and everything else that goes on in the street. That gets a lot of attention, surely. It's great video for TV, burning buildings, crowds looting, destroying, throwing rocks at police, police in SWAT gear with shields trying to hold a line. It's the kind of stuff you make movies out of, but unfortunately it's our real life nowadays. I know one of my listeners the other day wrote me and said, I wish we could just go back to the days in the 50s and 60s. Well, for some people that would be good, for some it wouldn't. But I do know what they're trying to say. The Mayberry, go back to Mayberry. Of course, there were no black people in Mayberry, Nanny Griffin's Mayberry. And the one law enforcement officer other than Andy was Barney Fife, and he had one bullet for his gun, and he kept it in his pocket. We're never going to go back to that time. And in part, it's probably good that we'd never go back to that time for some of the things that have been righted and corrected since that time for various groups, not just Americans of color. I'm getting the word from Quentin that I don't think we're going to be able to salvage this. It's a computer locked up entirely. So I need to give you some more of the details of what I know we were going to share with you. Dr. Ben Carson, as you know, is a neurosurgeon. And here's something he pointed out. And I'm paraphrasing because I don't have his actual quote here in front of me, but I do know to this extent what he's saying. Interesting enough, he said, we make all of this about color when skin color does not direct who you are and what you're going to become. And here's the part I can read directly from him, his quote. I've got it in front of me. Again, we're talking about he's a former neurosurgeon. He said, when I open up somebody's head and I'm operating on their brain, there is nothing in there that says this is a black person or a white person or a yellow person or a brown person. That is a thing that actually makes you who you are. In other words, he's saying, if you're looking for a color, it would be gray, the color of your brain. That's what makes you, not your outer skin being white, yellow, or brown, or black. And Dr. Ben Carson, and I'm sure you know he's a black man, he said, as we divide ourselves, we allow ourselves to be divided, and we are destroying the very fabric of our nation. This is called the United States of America, and this is what we need to think about. But he wants you to keep in mind that while everybody would agree Black Lives Matter, and they do, but I say also all lives matter, he does say it has morphed into a Marxist-driven organization. And that organization, the intent of that organization, that founding belief of Black Lives Matter is not what many in the street think it is. That part of the organization wants to take down the model of the Western family structure, dismantle police departments across the nation, have anarchy and chaos. Then they would thrive. I think you need to keep that in mind, even if you're a supporter of Black Lives Matter. And the other thing, we got all this effort to tear down these monuments related to Confederacy and anybody linked to that, and sometimes even tearing down or attacking something like a Lincoln statue, because either they don't know the history of Lincoln or they just don't care. And I still say they don't care. They want the whole country turned upside down. But Dr. Carson has something to say about monuments. And I'm sorry we can't let you hear him directly because of the computer frozen. But we'll take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you what he has to say. And I think Dr. Carson has an excellent idea, which I would love to see be pushed forward. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Dr. Ben Carson was saying, rather than tear down these statues that maybe some folks consider offensive if they are linked in any way to Confederacy, he said, you know, well, for one, we could put them in areas where they might be more associated with the museum. You don't want them directly out in public. That's always an option. But don't tear it down. Don't destroy the history. But here's what he comes up with, I think, is even a better idea. And I would really like to see this take hold across the nation. And I don't have, again, Dr. Carson's full quote in front of me because it's frozen up on the computer, but I do remember some of the names he mentioned. He said, why don't we put up monuments honoring black men and women for what they've done for this nation, more monuments to that extent? You don't have to tear down the Civil War generals and what they did, but you can certainly put up more monuments honoring black Americans. And I'm all for that. And he went through a list of several of them. And, of course, some come quickly to mind. I mean, you know about George Washington Carver and what he was able to do with peanuts and everything. And then you've got others that did various things. One that I don't recall if he mentioned, but was Garrett Morgan. He's the one who came up with several significant inventions, including an improved sewing machine, gas mask, improved traffic light. I mean, he came up with a three-light traffic system. A black man who did that, and he was just one of many that did things. Refrigerated trucks. You imagine all this stuff that goes across our nation, refrigerated trucks? That was a African-American inventor, Frederick McKinley Jones. Had more than 60 patents through his life. And by the way, his company, and later under Thermo King, was critical during World War II because not just food, but preserving blood during the war when we needed it. And Dr. Carson named several others. One of them being, and you may know the name, but you may not know the full story, Elijah McCoy. He came up with an oil drip cup invention that then worked to help locomotives and the rail industry. In fact, sometimes they would use one of these devices and they would often ask, is this a real McCoy? They wanted the one actually done by Elijah McCoy because it did it effectively. So Elijah McCoy, they could put up a monument for him in different parts of the country, whatever. And here's one he did not mention, but I think it obviously should be included. And this was a woman, Sarah Boone, a black woman. She basically looked at the ironing board and improved it. Now, you would think, so what? Stop and think about it. When she redesigned it, making it easier to iron garments, especially women's clothing, it's become the modern ironing board in use today for those who still iron. These are black Americans who have made contributions to this nation that many don't know and wouldn't think of. Put up a monument for them. Acknowledge it. Wherever you choose to do so. Rather than tearing down history, let's build upon history. But too many want to destroy everything we have standing. They don't want a national anthem even played. If it's going to offend someone, we just won't do it. Or if it puts the players on the field in a difficult position, do we stand, kneel, or bow our head, or fiddle around with our zipper, or chew gum with our mouth open, then they can stay inside the clubhouse before the game. Wait till after the national anthem is done. Is that what we want to do? Do we want to just begin to turn our back on history and just start looking for easy ways out? This nation wasn't built on the easy way out, believe me. And President Trump is going to be at Mount Rushmore for a big fireworks celebration. And a lot of folks now are saying Mount Rushmore should come down, all four white men up there. And the president's planning a big July 4th fireworks celebration, they say the biggest ever for D.C. on July 4th, Saturday. But many are still complaining and making noise. And why? It's because it's Donald Trump. Do you think if President Obama had decided to go to Mount Rushmore for this first fireworks display they've had in several years, it would be a point of contention? Of course it wouldn't. As we go into this 4th of July, I know you're going to have your time with family and friends, the cookout and all this stuff. Of course, no baseball games, things of that nature. Maybe some little league, maybe not. But use this time to recharge what you think is good about this country. But you also have to acknowledge the very freedom that gives those protesters the right to be in that street are the freedoms that have been fought for in this country. No, this country did not take the easy way. And a price has been paid for the freedom we have now and hopefully forever. Tomorrow we will have a program for you. We'll put up one of our programs from previous. Quentin and I are going to take some well-deserved time off. I know he deserves it after the problems with the computer. As always, I appreciate you listening. Back on the air tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.